Audio Kitchen.
You won't believe the static.
The Audio Kitchen. The Audio Kitchen.
Yes, it's running. You can't hear it. Oh, you can't hear it go round when you're recording. But when you're rewinding or something, you can.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, now we shut the door.
Tell it like it is, Professor.
Roadrunner.
Ready?
All right. Oh, God, I don't know it.
Chat, what's the first line?
Roadrunner.
Shut up. Come on, Paul, I can't hear you.
Roadrunner.
Shut up. Got 1,000 miles an hour. With 1,000 watts of power. With the radio on. With the radio on.
Sid, get away from the mic.
Roll, shut up, roll, shut up, roll the radio on. With the radio on.
Step right up. Step right up. It's the Audio Kitchen, and maybe you could win a prize. I am the professor, your host. Your curator. Your friend. Please take my radio hand. Go ahead, take it. It's just a hand, a radio hand. And I extend it to you. In RF frequency. That's tech talk. I read those words somewhere. So what's going on? It's the amateur audio show here on WFMU. Oh, geez, that on again? When's a music show start? Okay, that's at 8, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Let me hand out the syllabus for the show. Here, pass these back. There you go. There's one for everyone. Sorry, the ink was kind of running there at the bottom. So we'll be exploring mythology and psychology and, oh, all sorts of stuff. Science. It's kind of a science show. Okay, now we're going to start off with a familiar voice. Ellen Schneider. As you may recall from last week. Or was it the week before? Oh, gosh. Anyway. Brian Blatt found the fourth in a series of tapes made by Ellen Schneider. Back in the 1970s. Mid-70s, maybe. And I've played her on the show before, vocalizing with an Elton John 8-track tape. She's very good at that. In this particular series, her sister is doing the voices of various dolls or knickknacks on Ellen Schneider's famous dresser. It involves a furry elephant and a kitty cat. So let's crank up the time machine. Here we go. Destination, 1976, Brooklyn, New York.
Back to the interview, the interview, the interview. Back to the interview today. Hello, now we are interviewing the famous Snowball the Elephant. Snowball, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I notice your fur is shedding. What is your reaction to this? The public seems to think that you look very good with it, but how do you feel personally about this?
Well, it depends. You see, in the summer, I was always very, very hot, and I'm glad when it's cold. But, you see, I don't really know. I guess it doesn't matter either way.
Well, do you think you look any sloppier with it like this? I mean, after all, you cannot avoid this.
Well, I guess so.
Well, I think it looks kind of cute.
Me too.
What do you feel about your red ears? I mean, you are popular by this, but personally, do you like your big red ears?
Oh, yes, very much.
I notice you have partly gold eyes and your black eyes. But when you were first became popular, you didn't have this. You had all black. What is this a result from?
Well, I used to be nearsighted, and I didn't have eyeballs. I didn't have pupils. And now I'm getting pupils so I can see better, so I'm happy.
Well, that's good. I'm sorry, our time is up for you, Snowball, but I hope that we can interview you another day.
Okay, I hope so too. Thank you. Goodbye. It was nice seeing everybody.
It was nice seeing you too. Goodbye, Snowball. Now, have an interview with the famous Prince Pussycat of Manxtown. Hello, Prince, your highness. I notice you got a new bow and some new crowns and bows and things. What happened to your old ones?
Oh, they got old, so I bought a new one.
I see your fur is very thick and beautiful today. Are you going to be in that? I heard you're going to be in a new magazine.
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes.
What is the magazine called?
Cats.
Well, that's a very appropriate magazine. I heard you're going to be on the front cover and in the centerfold.
Yep.
Well, that's really good news. I love your eye colors. I never seen anything like it.
Thank you. I like them, too.
You're quite welcome.
Meow, meow.
Oh, I'm very sorry, but there is something stuck on your gorgeous fur. How do you keep your fur so white? The public wants to know about this.
Well, you see, my master combs me every day and brushes me and washes me. I use Blossom hair conditioner, Alberto Blossom, and it really does wonders for my hair.
Really? That's good news. Also, by the way, people, if, you don't know what this interview is from, it is from the famous Ellen Schneider's bedroom dresser. This dresser is the most famous, and of course it's made with all these toy animals. And we are interviewing them all and finding out how their, well, show business, popular life is going on.
So how is your showbiz popular life? As good as a toy animal? Well, that was a little absurd, but I'm not afraid to be ridiculous. Or at least I've gotten over my fear of being ridiculous. Thank goodness. The Audio Kitchen is now in gear. We're rolling down the highway now. In fact, Wall-to-Wall America coming up shortly. By the way, that cackle is for you, John Mark, if you're listening. I know you're a cackle fan. Well, now we go from childish absurdity into something more adult. We're going to dip into some adultness now. Starting off with this answer machine tape, which belonged to a young lady named Marcia. This little micro cassette, in most respects, was pretty uneventful. It all happens in the first message here, really, but I kept the whole thing intact so you can get a sense of where it came from, or at least it's left in its natural stuff. It's mostly mundane duties and life functioning going on here in this tape, but how it starts out is interesting. It's an older fella calling Marcia, and he's been stewing for years about some disagreement, and I don't know how old he is. Maybe he's not well. But he wants to patch things up, and it's sort of it's a grand apology. That's what I would call it. Looking to solve all the issues between he and Marcia in one call. That's what he's hoping for. And, of course, we don't know if they ever did patch things up. Here's hoping.
Sure, it's Ron, Thursday, February 10th, 11:15 a.m. I know I've been a royal pain in the ass, and even if you never want to see me again, I wonder if I could resolve this. I've been depressed and upset for a number of years since I first met you, and there are personal reasons I have. I wonder if you could help me, if I were to call you, if you wouldn't hang up on me, or I mean, even if you never want, just out of the goodness of your heart, because you are a nice person. I'm upset about music, the job, philosophy, life, death, everything, and I guess I've taken it out on you, and if I could speak to you, I would be deeply indebted and with so much gratitude. Please, thank you.
Hi, Marcia. Michael. So and say hi. Tell you a couple things. See when we can get together next. And just call me back whenever you get home. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, it's Robbie. I must have been downstairs doing the laundry or walking the dog.
Hello.
About the safety deposit box, I had to close mine out and get the form first before I could move over to 55 Water. I may see you tonight. Trace and I are going out for dinner, and then I'm going to, if I have time, drop up to New York University Hospital. Fakie had her baby yesterday, so I'm going to see if I have time to stick my face in and say hi to her. Maybe I'll see you. Otherwise, I'll try to talk to you. If I don't get to talk to you during the week, I'll call you over the weekend. See you soon. Bye.
That was kind of interesting. He wanted to talk about the job, life, death, and philosophy. I think he mentioned music, too. Just what was that argument about? Well, as usual, we have no idea. It's all guesswork, almost all of it. The listening here in the audio kitchen. Because most of the material is anonymous people we really don't know, and that's okay. It doesn't really take anything away from your listening pleasure. At least I don't think so. Do you feel deprived? But sometimes it's possible that you can learn a lot from audio about somebody. Sometimes that's possible. As in this next regular feature we're going to have here, a series I'm beginning, featuring Debbie the Lesbian. This answering machine tape I found of Debbie's, a light brown duotone answering machine, 60 minutes. Has some phone calls, the normal answering machine fare, and we'll hear that eventually, but that's not what I'm going to play now. Apparently, she also used this tape to record a session with her therapist, which we're about to hear. Debbie here is in some emotional turmoil. I don't think this is a regularly scheduled weekly or monthly appointment. She's full of emotion, like she's been holding it in. Probably kind of a maintenance situation. She calls the therapist once or twice a year to clear things up. And that's what's happening here. And for one thing, she starts out at the beginning that she's looking towards spirituality and religion, which is good. That's good. It's good for Debbie. But she has a problem with her friends in general. Seems that she introduces friends to each other and they become better friends and leave her behind. And even worse, a woman that she was in love with was introduced to a male friend of hers and she turned heterosexual on her. But that comes later. We'll hear about that later. Right now we're going to hear about a relationship that she's just ended, and we'll hear the details of the ending of this relationship with a woman named Chris. She was just looking for something steady, something not passionate or crazy, just something steady and simple. But with Chris, he's just getting kind of a detached, unemotional person who basically only gets romantic when she wants to have sex with her. Which she said seems like a very strange relationship, but actually it kind of sounds like a typical heterosexual relationship.
Thanks. I'm kind of, you know, but, well, last year sometime, I started focusing on inner stuff, you know, spiritual inner. And it brings me a lot of comfort. And I'm kind of thinking that maybe I really just need to focus in that direction. And I've been trying real hard. I'm trying now to realize that everyone has their own reality. And mine's mine and theirs is theirs. Because I think I'm real opinionated. And I cop attitudes with people real fast and they hurt my feelings real easy. And I just kind of banish them. But I'm alone.
What do you mean hurt your feelings?
Well, people, they just do things that hurt my feelings. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's directed to me or not.
Could you give me an example of
well,
what it would take to hurt your feelings?
Well, real stupid things, too. Well, one, for instance, I fixed this friend of mine up with someone that I knew they were both talking about wanting to meet someone. So I fixed them up, and things started going real well and everything, and I never heard from the person again. And my feelings were hurt, so I haven't talked to her anymore. And I've kind of had a real rough year and a half. That woman that had been raped, remember that?
Uh-huh.
Well, she ended up living with my friend Roger. And it's questionable whether that whole story was even true. And then I met this woman. I thought, well, maybe I need to start focusing on different things, you know, attractions, different kinds of attractions to people. So I thought, well, I'll focus on someone who's more steady and, you know, without that passionate stuff, because I thought maybe that's what it is. So I met this woman that was steady and, you know, not up and down, and it wasn't anything high or low. It was just middle, you know, middle kind of. And I thought this might be good.
Is it an experiment, you mean, to see what that would be like?
No, I thought I just want something steady. You know, I just want something there. So I thought, well, you know, I'll do this. So I've been with this person for a while, and it's been, she's very cold, and she's real, she's not affectionate at all unless she wants to have sex. And 4 or 5 months ago, I told her that I wasn't going to have sex with her if she didn't like me until then, that I didn't want to do this anymore. And I just kind of have been in this, just not even, I'm not in love with this person.
So this is a cat, when you live together?
We tried that and it just didn't work out. She's real aloof. And
what's her first name?
Chris, another Chris.
Have a name, so I can call her name, Chris.
I just stayed in this because I thought, well, you know, this is something that could be here as long as I can adapt to this. And we don't fight, we don't talk to each other. It's been a real weird relationship. And she went away recently for a couple weeks, and I was thinking, I'm home at my house, and I thought, I like her not being here. So I thought, well, gosh, this is a good sign. And I've been real depressed for about a month. So I called you, and after I called you, I realized that this had to stop. And Friday, I told her, I said, she would do things like Friday, she arranged to have dinner with me. We were going to have dinner and spend the weekend together. And she goes and makes plans that evening to go out with her friends. So we were ordering drinks, and she told me this. And I just didn't feel anything. I just thought, this is it. So I told her, I said, well, I don't want to have dinner with you. I want to come home. And she said, well, we ordered drinks. I said, just pay for them and let's go. And we're on the way home, and I said, I want my house keys back. And she said, well, I'll call you tomorrow about going to look at a computer. And I said, don't call me. And I said, I've had enough. I don't want to see you anymore. And she said, well, I guess I'll get my things out. And I said, at my convenience, you can get them next weekend. So, you know, I thought, well, I did that. And I went out Friday. I thought, well, I'm not going to go out. But then I thought, I sit here. And it's not like I was sad over her at all. I just felt real alone, and I thought, well, you know, being alone has got to be better than, you know, nothing, having someone there with nothing.
Oh.
Sometimes I just want to be like any other WFMU DJ. I just want to play music. You know, a song and then a song and then a song. It's what the other DJs do. But no. I gotta play audio letters and therapy sessions. They're very demanding of me around here. But I needed to hear something curative. I was feeling so bad for Debbie there. So we heard, at the top of the set, we heard from Ernest Trotter. And Blue Velvet. And then some earnest young rocking Korean dude doing a Let It Be for a moment. It's the Audio Kitchen on WFMU. The professor here. I'm here. Look, see? You didn't get the video hookup yet, right? Carefully, take a look. Over here. Right here. Here's something new. Something new here in the kitchen. I took a little gander, a little visit around Shecky Rec's resale emporium this last weekend. And he offered up a whole box of reel-to-reel tapes. These belong to a fella named Marty. And it's an archive. It's a stash. And I don't know exactly who Marty is or exactly what's going on. Who knows? Maybe you do. Maybe you can help me. But these tapes were recorded in that special time in history. The Nixon years. The hallucinatory hippie period of our existence. And there's a lot of interesting material, a lot of stoned musical excursions, tapes of Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman off the television. Beans, or something, people screaming and moaning and chanting. A lot of authentic 1960s material, including what we're about to hear. This is the first thing that really stuck out to me. It's a poem called Spinning Wheel. And on this tape, you'll hear in the beginning part of a radio thing, at the end part of a phone call. I left it the way it was, just so you can hear how it was on the tape. I think it's one guy who's overdubbed his own voice during certain parts. But like I said, it's a different era. The 1960s and late 60s, there was a garbage strike. That's on his mind. Presidential assassination is on his mind. And eye contact in the subway.
Thought maybe he sang Arab songs.
Maybe.
And we'll pick up a few dollars that way. And in the meantime, do what we've been urging you to do, particularly if you're listeners who are not yet subscribers.
The spinning wheel, baby. The spinning wheel, baby. The spinning wheel, baby. The spinning wheel, baby. One day, the bird of paradise. One day, the bird of paradise. Done. The spinning wheel, baby. The spinning wheel, baby. The spinning wheel, baby. One day, the bird of paradise. The bird of paradise. I have seen the bird of paradise. I shall never be the same. I shall never be the same. I shall never be the same. I have seen the bird of paradise. The spinning wheel, baby. the spinning wheel, baby. I've seen the bird of paradise one day. The spinning bird of paradise. I thought about it. Not yet. And the bird of paradise. Don't be. And the bird of paradise. Don't be. Don't that I shall never have the same. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of.
If I could turn you on. If I could drive you out of your wretched mind, if I could turn you on, if I could drive you out of your wretched mind, if I could drive you out of your wretched mind, I'm a little bit of a and nobody said, I'll tell you what he said. You know what I said? You know what he said? We are in communion in death. We are in communion in death. We are in communion in death. Every time they shoot a president, every time there's a garbage strike, every time there's an electricity strike, we are in communion. We are together. If you go on the train, if you go on the bus, people are looking at each other in the eye all of a sudden. I have seen bird of paradise, and I shall never be the same. In death we are in communion, in death we are in communion. Every time they shoot a president or another star or a garbage strike or electricity shortage, we are in communion. We look at each other in the eye. We look at each other in the eye. Only when they shoot a president, only when there is a garbage strike, only when there is an emergency, baby. An emergency, baby. I have seen the bird of paradise, and I shall never be the same. Paradise. There is and I shall never be the same. Afraid of. There is and I shall never be the same. Afraid of. There is and I shall never be the same. Afraid of. Your wretched mind. If I can tell you, I will let you know. In death. We are in communion, in life,
that word death, that word death.
Hello, sir, can I have a bottle of
death, please?
Hello, sir, can I have a bottle of I just missed my train. I guess I'll have to get into my just missed my train bag. Every time I miss my train, I get into my just missed my train bag. Oh, that missed that train. I missed that train. I know it's cool next. No. Every time I miss my train, I get into my just missed my train. When I'm on a train, I'm not on a train. When I'm on a train, I'm not on a train. I'm on a thing. I have seen the bird of paradise. In death, we are in communion. In life, we are in communion. In life, we look each other in the eye when they shoot a president. We look each other in the eye when there's a garbage strike. We look each other in the eye when there is an emergency. Emergency. In life, my eye, your eye, in life, your eye, my eye, your eye, my eye, your eye, my 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 in life.
This is brought to you by non.
Of that, baby. Well, maybe that's a famous poet. Maybe that's Gregory Corso's half brother. I don't know. You ever heard of that poem before? Do you know more than I do about something I play here? Help me out. My email address is theprof. At WFMU.org. Also at WFMU.org are like 60 archives of the show. You can listen to this show until you're old over the computer. At least for now. Until that whole internet thing burns down. Also, to submit audio to this show, and if you have some, please do so. Please investigate your local thrift store and report back to me. The address is The Audio Kitchen, care of WFMU, P.O. Box 2011, Jersey City, New Jersey,
07303.
Okay, let's roll.
Oh, Trudy, something to see. This is a pretty drive here, isn't it? Hey, there's some rocks over there. These are funny looking rocks, aren't they? This is a nice highway though. Double lane. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, isn't that something? Look at those. Oh. Oh, isn't that a beauty? What a relief, isn't it, to know that we've got a motel to go to? It is really quite a relief.
We're hitting the highway again with Jim and Arlene Walls. By the way, that's spelled W-A-L-S for those of you keeping score at home. You know, last week I said, so funny, I said that they were from Green Bay, Minnesota. I couldn't believe it. And I heard the archive. Everybody knows Green Bay's in Michigan. Jeez. I mean Wisconsin. Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's where they're from. And at the time, they lived just a few blocks south of the stadium that the Packers play in. The Green Bay Packers. But these two don't play football. They just travel. They travel the country in their big chrome-covered vehicle. And right now, they're just getting up. They're just waking up in Victoria, Texas. And it's kind of a half-assed motel. They couldn't get a good room, and he's not real happy about that. But they're headed over to Corpus Christi. They're not going to drive the whole day. They're just going to get to Corpus Christi, get a room early, check in, and relax, have some cocktails in Corpus Christi. So we hear that trip, and more of Jim's musings on Texas. You know, they're from Wisconsin. It's a dairy state. Lots of cheese and milk and fat dairy cows. They're not used to those lean steers, those Texas beef cattle. Although they like a good steak as much as anybody. And he remarks about the lack of dairy products around. He's not happy. And suspects the restaurants are serving not only Oleo, but powdered milk. Gets a Wisconsin guy's dandruff up. But the more descriptions of the landscape, as always, and they're frugal people. They give the prices for everything. It's very important. So just roll down the window and you can smell that humid Texas air. And the dust and the manure.
We're leaving at 9:25. We're leaving the city of Victoria, Texas, 68 miles from Corpus Christi. We spent the night here, and it was a halfway decent room for $12-$13. And the restaurant next door, real good. Had steak there last night.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah. We had a good steak last night. This morning we had eggs and toast for $1.25 for two eggs, and it was real good. The mileage is 1690 right on the head. The top is 42,196 miles on our speedometer. Finally got on our 77 south down to Corpus Christi. Beautiful day again. Sun, sky is all blue and warm, and except for a little bit of clouds over to our in front of us, but they're so far away. And what a beautiful country. Oh, is that guy smoking up ahead of us? Wow, is he throwing blue smoke? Ooh, he's got bad rings in his car, I guess. Well, anyway, this is all grazing land here. I see a few cattle around, a few trees, not too many, but it's hilly, low hills, and kind of a rolling country. There's cattle up there and a hill up there. There's a farmhouse over there, or a ranch house, or whatever you call it. It's a barn and everything. There's a lot of Brahma cattle here mixed in with your Herefords and other breeds. Shorthorns, I guess. The other day we thought our radio was on a Fritz. I had it. In fact, what happened was the rear speaker shorted out. The wire's in the trunk. It was jammed. The wire was jammed up against a pipe up there, a kind of a end of a pipe, and it was sharp, and I guess it grounded out. A suitcase or something must have jammed it up there. Anyway, we thought the radio was on a blinker. The fuse burned out. We stopped and checked the fuse, and
That was all right. And then finally I fiddled around with it, and here it was way down on the back rear speaker. And it wasn't working because it was shorted out. So after mucking around in the trunk, I happened to see that wire, and I pulled it off. It was jammed up against that pipe and shorted out, and that's what it was. Now the whole radio works. Seems like down here they don't have too many dairy products. It's all beef. In fact, this morning in the restaurant, they didn't even give us any butter. And then,
butter?
Huh?
The toast was
buttered. Toast was buttered, I guess. But I don't know if it was real butter. Probably oleo, because they use that a lot down here, and also a lot of powdered milk. So, yeah, these trees out on the ranch land here are great big round trees, like a big ball. They're spreading trees, you know, but they aren't too high. They're just spread out. Well, I don't know what kind of a tree you'd call them. Most of them are that way. They're kind of not too tall, but they're spread out sideways in a big kind of a oval. Anyway, we're going down to Corpus Christi early today. We started out at 9:30, and we're heading down, and we'll be able to get a motel instead of the way we've been doing it. This last town we were in, this Victoria, for some reason the Holiday Inn was all full, and there's about 40,000 population here. And the one we took was the last room they had, so I don't know how the other one motels were, because we didn't go to find out. At 5 minutes after 11, we're 20 miles from Corpus Christi, 5 miles from the intersection with 37, that'll take us right into Corpus Christi and right downtown. And we're going to look and see at a few of those motels and see what we can get. Along here, it's all flat ranch land, mostly ranch land. Real nice flat fields. All plowed fields and grassland and grazing fields. So forth. A few palm trees and other kinds of smaller trees. Typical beef land or beef cattle country, ranch land. There's one to the right over here. All flat ranch buildings with a fence near it keep the stock corralled up. You see a few steer around. Here's a bunch of them under a tree over here. Black Angus, and they're all scattered around different directions. Still a nice, beautiful day with a blue sky above us and a few, very, very few wispy white clouds. The window wide open. Yeah, it must be in the 70s right now.
Oh, look at all those houses with the flat tops.
Those are all apartment houses over there.
And they've got flat tops.
Yeah, they got that French roof on them. It's just flat around here, huh? Oh, there's a city right ahead. Oh my goodness, picture of that.
Quick, take a picture. Better yet, break out the tape recorder. I know you can't wait. Next week, Corpus Christi. Remember Robert Warren at school with his tape recorder back in 77? Quite an adventure he had, too. And we were able to experience it with them, thanks to this program. Well, I'd like to finish that off. There's still one more episode to go here before the show's over. It's a good way to end the show, too, because he's ending this tape. And if you recall, Robert is very aware of the physical tape inside the cassette. And saving, conserving tape. So he's oh so aware that he's running out of this the side of this tape, the C60 compact cassette. So here at the ending, he's at Chris's house. Chris is getting ready for hockey practice, and they just say goodbye, you know, as they watch the tape end. The reel on the side of the cassette to finally gather all of the tape over to one side. And also, as with this whole recording, Robert and his friends kind of have their own language down there in Georgia. And half the things they're saying here, I don't know what it means either.
Hello again. See, Chris plays hockey and he's got to get ready for hockey. So, tape's almost up. And I just want to say one thing. Hello, here's Chris. Barn. That's Chris. Now, here's me. Barn, Sleepy Cub. Barn, Sleepy Cub. And here's Chris. Barn. Hey, it's just about up. See, I can see it. When I see that no tape's running through, I'm just going to say one last word. Here it comes. I'll just start saying bye, bye. See you, bye, adios, bye, bye. Bye 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 move Chris, I can't see it. Bye 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 Burnt. Seems that there's more tape on this than I thought. But there isn't, so, I gotta say bye!
And we leave you with this thought.
Barnt. I think that's the word, barmp. Barmp and sleepy cub or something. I don't know. I tried to quiz Robert about what a lot of that stuff means, and he wouldn't tell me. I think he knows. But we don't. We don't know anything. I'm sorry, I'm speaking for you. I don't know anything. Except for the fact that you are listening to WFMU East Orange and WXHD Mount Hope. It's written right in front of me, that's why I know. I will be here again next week for you. Meanwhile, Meredith is here for you now. Right now. It's running out right now.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.